الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة صلوات We are commemorating the shahadat and the wafat of Hazrat Khadija Salamullahi Alayha today, who is the most beloved and most respectable and the most superior wife of our Prophet. And her departure from this world took place 3 days according to some narrations, and some other says 35 days after the death of Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam. This is one of the very major events. One of the major events of the Islamic history, because we find when someone dies in our family or our community, we mourn for his death. We have mourning for every mu'min, because every mu'min has ihtiram and respect. So because of the departure of every other mu'min feels sad, and there is a room for mourning for every mu'min. Now those of the personalities who have who are the awliyaullah, those personalities who are the most beloved servants of Allah, those personalities who are part of the Ahlul Bayt, those personalities who are the muqarrabeen and the closest ones to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's very much deserving that the mourning takes place for them. Now when it comes to the personality of Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam and Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha, we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam did not announce one day for mourning or 1 week. Instead he announces the whole year as the day of sorrow, Aamul Huzn. He considered the whole 1 year to be Amul Huzn. Some of the narrations say the Prophet decreased his coming out of the house. So he was in a lot of pain, he was in a lot of sorrow because of the departure of these two personalities. This again shows the maqam and the manzilat and the highness of Hazrat Khadija salamullahi alayha. So we find in the narration that when Prophet, according to that narration, when he was returning back from Mi'raj, and Prophet inquired from Jibreel about, you know, do you have any hajat? And Jibreel says, my hajat is that you say salam to Khadija. So when Prophet is returning from Mi'raj back towards the earth, Jibreel is sending his salam to Hazrat Khadija salamullahi alayha. Well, this is not surprising, because in the narration which is narrated in Kitab al-Awalim, according to that narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says that Ya Khadija, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يُبَاهِي بِكِ كِرَامَ مَلَائِكَتِهِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ مِرَارًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal, certainly, Prophet said to Hazrat Khadija, that Allah azza wa jal certainly feels proud because of you over his respectable angels every day several times. That means several times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feels proud because of you. So the angels are, we know, they are all made of nur, and then we have even darajat between the angels. Not every angel is highly regarded and highly respected. There are some which are less respected and some which are higher in their status, and they are highly respected. And then there are some who are hamalatul arsh, who are carrying the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? There are some who are bringing the message of Allah. There are some who are bringing down the rain, and there are some who are, you know, blowing the wind. And there are different tasks which Allah has assigned the angels. But those of the angels who are honored in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are in front of them. What Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha has done in her life is not comparable to the service any of the angel has performed. So we find Sayyidul Malaika Jibreel is sending his salam to Hazrat Khadija on the occasion of Mi'raj. So in Allah akhtara min an-nisa'i arba'a, Allah has chosen, certainly Allah has chosen from the women four: Maryam, wa Asiya, wa Khadija, wa Fatima. So Hazrat Maryam and Asiya and Khadija and Fatima are the four greatest women in the history of the humankind. You cannot find a woman superior than these four. So this also obviously includes Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha, is part of that short list. And if you want to understand the azmat of Hazrat Khadija to a little bit, you know, why she is that great, we need to look at the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because she is the sharikatur Rasul. She is the person who is partner with the life of the Holy Prophet, who is Khatamul Mursaleen. A prophet who is the seal of the messengers of Allah and the most superior of all the messengers, Allah has chosen this lady to be the partner to that personality who is the most superior. This is how you will understand a little bit why Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha is so great. And obviously there is, history is a wide field. Some of the narrations in the history say she was married twice, she had children from both the marriages. Some other narration says she was never married, she was a virgin. Some of the narration say she was 40 years old at the time of the marriage with the Prophet. Some others say she was young. So history is a very wide field. Obviously there are various aqwal, you know, and of various muhakkikeen talking about that issue. So I am not going to go in that detail, but what I wanted to say, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِي يجدونه مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث ويضع عنهم إصرهم والأغلال التي كانت عليهم. So this ayat from Surah Al-A'raf 157 is mentioning is talking about the sifat and some of the jobs that our Holy Prophet is performing, some of the assignments that he is handling. And if we understand the assignments of Rasulullah, what he is handling in his risalat, it will help us to understand the azamat of Hazrat Khadija sallallahu alayha. So we learn in the light of the verse that that the job of the Holy Prophet is الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ, the same Prophet whom they find written in Tawrat and Injil, in the Torah and the Bible. يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, Prophet performs أَمْرَ بِالْمَهِ أَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ and نَهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Prophet makes halal what is tayyib for them. Whatever is tayyib, this is what Prophet will make halal for the people. So anything that Prophet announced in the Sharia to be halal has to be tayyib and clean and pure for us. وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثَ, and make the khaba'is and evil and bad things as haram upon the people. So anything that Prophet announced to be haram has to be khabees and bad for us. And yada'u anhum israhum, and to take off, to remove, to put off from them their burden. والأغلال, and the chains, التي كانت عليهم, the chains that were upon them. Now we have in the tafsir, our scholars say that, well, obviously this is a very, very hard task that the Prophet has performed. If you imagine in the times when Prophet is living, where people have boycotted not only Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha, but they have boycotted Rasulullah, and they have boycotted Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam, and they have boycotted the entire Banu Hashim. And when their boycott doesn't work, they isolated them in the Sha'ib of Abi Talib for 3 years, where there was a total economic embargo. No one is allowed to buy anything from the Prophet and his people, and no one is allowed to sell anything to the Prophet and his people. No one, they were not allowed to move out of that region. So basically, the plan of the kuffar on the mushrikeen of Quraysh and all the qabail and tribes which united together against Islam and against Allah and against his messenger, their plan was to kill the Prophet. Because they could not kill him, they tried so many times, they could not kill the Prophet. So finally, they put the economic and social and political and moral embargo on Prophet and his people. In that time of hardships, which is unbelievable for us, the hardships that Prophet and his family went through in those days is unbelievable. Because we find there in such a hot weather of Makkah, when the skin of the people used to just fine, if you see the animals, they drop the skin. The skin of the people was dropping because it was burning with the hot weather. And you see how hot is the desert. And some of the babies died in that situation. And obviously there's no food to eat except the leaves and the grass and the things which are naturally available, very less food, isn't it right? So in that kind of little food to eat and all those hard situations, that's where Prophet continues with his sabr and istiqamat along with his people, you know, to be steadfast and have istiqamat on the path of the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to continue to propagate their religion. So what is the isr and aghlal? that Prophet is assigned to take away the Isr and Aghlal, the burden. What burden are we carrying? And Aghlal, what are the chains upon us? We have the chains, isn't it right? Izil Aghlalu fi anaqihim wa salasilu yushabun. Isn't it right? We seek the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of death. Izil amalu, when the a'mal and actions of the people, saratil a'malu aghlalan fil a'naq. When the actions of the people will convert, will transform into chains in the necks. What happens in the time of death, when the Malakul Maut comes, now the hijab is removed. A person who is dying, he can see some of the haqa'iq and realities of Alam al-Malakut, including the heaven or the hell, wherever he is heading to, including his daraja in the heaven, or his darak, his level in the hellfire, Jahannam, including Malakul Maut, which is part of the Malakut, that, you know, unless a person is Malakuti, he does not see the angel of death or any other angel, isn't it right? So the person who is dying will see the Malakul Maut. For some people, they see several other angels as well. And obviously, for the Mu'mineen, we have the Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam coming for the pious people, according to some of the riwayat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. At least for some of the atqiya, if not for all of them. And Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is confirmed to show up for every person, mu'min or kafir, dying. Ya haru hamdan. Man yamut yarani. Isn't it right? The famous hadith from Amir Mu'minin al-Salam that he said to Haris al-Hamdani from the Qabila of Hamdan in Yemen. So which was the followers and Shias of Ahlul Bayt. Qabila of Hamdan in Yemen were the followers of Amir Mu'minin al-Salam. So he said to Haris al-Hamdani, Ya Haru Hamdan, man yamut yarani. Whoever dies, he sees me. So Imam Ali al-Salam is visible to everybody. And now the hijab is removed. And not just that, but in addition to that, another information of Alam al-Malakut, which is now visible to us, is our own a'mal and aqeedah. Now, where do we belong? So our a'mal become visible to us. We can see, we believe in the Isna Ashari religion, we believe in Tajassumul A'mal. Our actions become mujassam and personified in a form and surat and shakal and shape. And we can see our actions in the shapes. Our salat will be in the form of a noor, psalm in the form of a noor, hajj in the form of the noor. Isn't it right? So it's wajib to do the hajj in the same year when you become mustati. Not that we lead our life 50 years, 60 years, and finally when we become old, then we plan to go for hajj. There is no room for young and old. As soon as you become you are baligh and it's wajib, you have to go in the same year without delay, because that's gunah kabira, bigger sin, ma'siyatun kabira in Islam. Isn't it right? So we don't have the right to delay the hajj. So our hajj is in the form of a noor right in front of us that we can see. Our salat, it's a unique moment of maut where all the a'mal are visible and you can see what is your status. What is your manzilat in the eyes of Allah? Where do you stand? Where are you heading to? Jahannam or Jannat? You know exactly where you are heading at the time of death. So now we find in that kind of situation, when our a'mal are visible, what happens is that, what I was saying, that all the bad a'mal are in the form of chains. Aghlal means chains. All the sayyat, the bad amal, are in the form of chains which are tied up into the neck of the person so he cannot move his head. And now the angels are going to drag this person towards the hell. Nobody wants to go to the hell, obviously, because when the person sees the hellfire and the burning flames, the fire which was dipped, you see, the fire in this dunya is not hot. It is hot, But it is not hot as compared to the Jahannam. There is no comparison. Because some of the narrations tell us the fire of Jahannam was dipped 70 times in the ocean. And then what remained was kept on earth. So now you can find the fire of Jahannam. There's no comparison, isn't it right? So this is a very interesting discussion of Islam, to learn how the Jahannam was lit in the very, very beginning. Where did it all started, and why? Who started the hellfire, and why? Why did it all start? What was the sparking flame that ignited in the beginning, ignited the hell? And what is the firewood is known by the Holy Quran already, isn't it right? بقودها الناس والحجارة أعدت للكافرين. The fire whose firewood and وقود is ناس, the people, والحجارة, the stone, which is prepared for the كافرين. So basically the firewood is the people and the stone, but and there is also an igniting force. So what I was saying is that all the bad deeds are now converted into ahlal. Now what is the ahlal that Allah is talking about in this ayat of Holy Quran? Yada'u anhum israhum. This will let us understand the azamat of Rasulullah, and let us understand the azamat of Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha, who is participating in the risalat and message and mission of Rasulullah in times where people are drowned in those ahlal and chains. So see, when the society when the Islamic Revolution came, after the Islamic Revolution, there are lots of people who are now supporters of the Islamic Inqilab and Saura, isn't it right? It's good to support the Haqq and Dawlatul Adl and Dawlatul Haqq, isn't it right? Who is led by an Mujtahidun Adil. It's wajib to support, and it's good to support. But it's very easy for a person to support at this time. In the time when in time of Shah Lanatullahi Alayh, when you find that people were persecuted and tortured by the intelligence, the Sawak, in the time when people were killed in the Tadahurat, isn't it right? Because they were firing bullets. Everyone who comes forward is going to be killed, shoot to kill. In those days, who supported is similar to that, like we talk about in the tarikh, that there were people who were Badriyun, who were participating with the Prophet in the occasion of Badr, where the rest of the people were kafir, but they were standing with the Prophet. So Badriyun have more sawab as compared to those who participated in Uhud only, and those who are in the Hunain, for example, only, and became Muslim in the final days, obviously they get the sawab, but it's very less as compared to those who have sabqat towards Islam. So we must understand and value those who are sabiqeen towards khairat. So we find that those of the people who were steadfast in the time of kufr and shirk and zulm and darkness and zulamat, because they were looking at the noor and valuing the noor at that time, when the rest are zalim and kafir and mushrik and jahil and jahili. There's a difference in Arabic between jahil and jahili. So a person is jahil who does not know. A person is jahili and belongs to the jahiliyat, who knows but knowingly does the wrong. So jahiliyat is worse than the jahil. So people were jahili in those days. Allah wa man mata ala man mata wala man mata walam ya'rif imam zamanihi mata mitatan jahiliya. A person who dies without the ma'rifat of his imam of his time dies the death of jahiliyat. So we have to remove the jahil and the jahiliyat both. So we find that isr and aghlal is in the tafsir. My teacher was saying that the isr and aghlal, idol worshipping, look at the list, khurafat, every khurafa, everything which is khurafat in the society. There are lots of khurafat practiced by the Muslimin and some of the mu'mineen as well, who are practicing khurafi things, baseless beliefs or baseless practices in their life, just because they heard it from some people in their family or in their qabila or in their country or in their people. They saw people doing it, people start just doing like a, you know, going along with the wave and the flow. These are all khurafat. In Islam, we don't do anything and don't believe in anything which is not supported by Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Everything must have a daleel before we follow. And they are, you know, these people deserve to be congratulated. How many people are like this in the society? You know, who say, Nahnu abna'ud dalil, how the scholars in the Hawza say, Nahnu abna'ud dalil, we are the children of dalil. So you give me a dalil for anything and I will believe it. How many people are like this? You know, if you start looking your aqeedah from Tawheed to the Ma'ad and Qiyamah, Yawmul Qiyamah, you find how many of the aqa'id of Islam do we have dalil about it? Well, the same applies for the furu'uddin as well. We have dalil, but who has the dalil? The mujtahid has the dalil. We don't have the dalil. We rely upon the dalil of the mujtahid, who is jami'u shara'it, fulfills all the conditions. Because now that he fulfills the conditions, he deserves to be relied upon. Because now his al-qawl al-fatwa'i hujjatun shar'iyya in the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fatwa al-mujtahid hujjatun wa hukmullah fi haqq al-muqallid. Whatever the mujtahid gives the fatwa is the hukm of Allah in the favor of the muqallid. So we have a dalilun shar'i, an Islamically acceptable evidence that whatever the mujtahid says is the hukm of Allah in my favor. That's the best what I can get. So I rely upon his dalil and adilla and barahim and evidences that he has. So basically, coming back to a point, everything that we believers do in our life and believe, our aqeedah and amal is based on dalil and burhan and yaqeen. Nothing is based without the dalil. So people are believing in khurafat and mazmunat, isn't it right? Or mashkukat or mawhumat. They have either the dhan and guman about what they are doing. If you ask them, why are you doing that? They don't have any dalil. They will say, well, I saw my mother, my grandmother doing it, or I saw my people of my community doing it, or in my country, everybody does it. Huh? Are we here to follow your grandmother? With due respect to her, she is not a hujjat of Allah. Isn't that right? So, if Salman Farsi had to follow his grandmother, he would never become Salman Minna Ahl al-Bayt. He never followed his grandmother. If Salman Farsi had to follow his qabila and ashira and country, he would never become Salman Minna Ahl al-Bayt. He followed dalil and haqq. That's why he became Salman Minna Ahl al-Bayt. So khurafat need to be battled in the society. Jahl is part of the isr and aghlal, my teacher says. People are jahil, they don't know what we do based on the ignorance. It's all going to cause isr and aghlal for my life, burden. And remember what the Prophet has said once according to that narration, inna zuhurakum saqilatun min awzarikum fa khaffifu anha bitul sujudikum. That's the mazmoon riwayah. Your backs are burdened with your loads. Your backs are weighty, have weighty with your loads. So burden, you know, remove the loads and make it less weighty. Remove the weights, in other words, by long sajdas. When we do the long sajda, we remove all. So every sin, Prophet can see the sins that is there on the person with all the burdens and the chains. Is that right? So he cannot tolerate the sins of the people. He's constantly asking them to remove those burdens away from them. So jahl and ignorance, which is biggest enemy of a human, is his ignorance. Lots of people end up doing the wrongs in their life, making mistakes after 45 years. When they reach age 45, then they realize, oh, I have been doing this much for so long, nobody told me. Well, you are supposed to ask, even if nobody tells you. You know, we ask everything that we don't know. We are supposed to have Ruju'ul Jahil ila al-alim dalilun aqli. Our aql says that every jahil is supposed to turn to an alim towards that issue. And isarat is part of the isra al-aqlal, meaning slaves. How many people are slaves of the society? They are just doing what the society are doing. They want to assimilate. You know, my son goes to the school or college, he wants to be like some other people. Right? Want to be like them, so they are not singled out. First of all, we have the best values which already singles out. We are already singled out if we are practicing our values, because no one else has that superior great values in the purest form as Islam has. So there is no room for a person to be the slave of the society or slave of any other thing or any other person or administration or the society. Istibdad, doing zulm on others, or even having our ra'i. Some people have istibdad of the ra'i. They're stubbornness. They have stubbornness in their opinions. Opinionated people. Opinionated, self-centered. They are always ready to stick to their own viewpoint and not ready to listen to anybody else's viewpoint. So, literally speaking, this is part of the istibdad, I mean. Istismar, exploitation. If there is anyone exploiting anyone in any relationship, a husband towards the wife towards the husband, parents towards the children towards the parents, right? Or friends towards each other, workplace, any example that you can think of. Governments exploiting the people, isn't it right? So people exploiting the adil government to defame the government for their political interests, any kind of istismar and exploitation. Istihmar is also part of isr and akhlal. That means fooling the people. Deceiving and fooling the people. Anyone who tries to deceive others, he is still under the burden of chains and isr. He is not yet free. He is not the hur and free abd and servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is still not free. So we don't have fooling of the people. We don't fool the people. And adat and taqaleed and rusum. So in Farsi we say rusum. In Arabic we say adat and taqaleed. Customs and traditions are all part of Isr and Aghlal. Now you find that likewise a wrong qanun a person may be following. This is also part of Isr and Aghlal. If a person follows a qanun which is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find in that kind of situation which is society is drowned in jahl, and stubborn, opinionated on their opinion, strict in their behaviors, burying their daughters alive, eating the stagnant water, which is not hygienic, apparently not, you know, it's obvious that it's not hygienic, but they're still drinking that. In that kind of society, which is drowned in zulm and darkness, and they're not ready to listen, sometimes Prophet was reading Quran, and the mushrikeen, while they are doing tawaf of Kaaba, they put their hands over their ears so they don't end up hearing the voice of Rasulullah. Because if they hear, his voice is so beautiful and effective and Quran is so effective that they will lose their shirk and they will end up getting inspired with the teachings of the Prophet. So many of the people became Muslims because of the beautiful voice and beautiful ta'seer and effectiveness of Quran. So people used to put their ears, so they don't even listen to what the Prophet is saying and what Allah is saying. This is called, these people have bughd and enmity towards haqq. In that kind of situation, we find that Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha is the first woman to convert to accept the religion Islam and to start following the Holy Prophet and to start prayers behind the Holy Prophet. Please say salawat. We find in the riwayat that Sheikh Saduq, according to Sheikh Saduq, what he has narrated from Mufaddal ibn Umar, from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he we find that obviously we find Hazrat Khadija was isolated by the people. We know that. So now Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is saying, when Al-Mufaddal ibn Umar asked, "Kayfa kana wiladatu Fatimah al-Zahra alayhi salam?" How was the birth of Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra sallallahu alayha? So it was a very good question. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam replies, "The Na'am, inna Khadija lamma tazawwaja biha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi hajaratha niswatu Makkah fakunna la yadkhulna alayha." When, in other words, when, which I'm paraphrasing these narrations in my words, when Hazrat Khadija married the Holy Prophet, the women of Makkah isolated her. They stopped visiting her. وَلَا يُسَلِّمْنَا عَلَيْهَا. Nobody used to ask her how you are, you know, saying salam to her, you know, say their greetings. وَلَا يَتْرُكْنَا إِمْرَأَةً تَدْخُلُ عَلَيْهَا. Not just that, but they didn't even allow any other woman to go and visit her. Not just that, they themselves never visited her, but no other woman of the city was allowed to visit her. Now you realize the azmat of Hazrat Khadija. When you are in that kind of isolation, people end up saying, "Well, I want to do it, but you know, Maulana, I am just alone. What can I do? There is no one who is there to support me." Now look at the azmat of Hazrat Khadija, where there was no one there to support her, but she is still ready to stand by the Holy Prophet. This is how we understand the azmat, a little bit of the azmat of Hazrat Khadija. So we find fastawhashat lidhalika Khadija al-Kubra. So wa kana jaz'uha jaz'uha wa ghammuha hazran alayhi. Hazrat Khadija was afraid, and her concern was about the Prophet. So basically she was not concerned about her own self, what she's going through, that kind of pain. She was concerned about what impact this behavior is going to have on the Holy Prophet. And falamma hamalat bi Fatimata, when she became pregnant with Fatima, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is saying, tuhaddithuha min batniha wa tusabbiruha wa kanat Khadija taktumu dhalika min Rasulillah. So when she became pregnant with Fatima, Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam used to talk to her from inside the womb and used to give her the advice, you know, give her the basically the sabr and patience to make her keep her sabr there, to give her the nasihat of sabr, in other words, and used to talk to her mom. Our masumeen, we have several narrations talk about several of the masumeen talking to their mothers, isn't it right? So Hazrat Khadija alayhi salam was like this. Hazrat Fatima was talking to her. These are the arrangements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she didn't tell it to the Prophet. What happened one day is that in yawman fasami'a Khadijata alayhi salam tuhaddisu Fatima qala ya Khadija man tuhaddisinahu. So one day what happened is that she didn't tell it to the Prophet. One day the Prophet himself heard that she's talking. So a Prophet asked her, "Whom are you talking to?" And she replied, "Qalat ya Rasulullah al-janin alladhi fi batni." This child who is in my womb, in other words. And and qala Rasulullah, Prophet said, "Ya Khadija, hadha Jibra'il." Oh Khadija, this is here it is Jibreel. Yubashiruni annaha unsa. He's telling me that she's a female. I mean, she's a girl. Wa innaha annasmatu tahira al-maymuna. And she's the clean and the blessed and, you know, person. Wa inna Allah ta'ala sayaj'alu nasli minha. And Allah is soon going to make my nasl and lineage from her. The nasl of Rasulullah continues from Hazrat Khadija through Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam. This is the distinguished feature and sifat of Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite the fact Prophet had several wives, isn't it right, and respect the wives of the Prophet, but despite the fact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is continuing the nasl of the Prophet only from Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha. وَسَيَجْعَلُ نَسْلَهَا أَئِمَّةً, and soon Allah is going to make her lineage imams. وَيَجْعَلُهُمْ خُلَفَاءَ فِي أَرْضِهِ, and Allah is going to make them vicegerents and khulafa on his earth. So بَعْدَ إِنْقِضَاءِ وَحْيِهِ, after the wahi, his wahi ends. So this is how we find that Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha, she basically stayed resilient and sacrificed and continued on the path of the supporting of the Holy Prophet. Now, in another narration, we find that which is narrated from Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha, where she says, "Ma." That I haven't seen the Holy Prophet talking about any of his wives the way Prophet used to talk about Khadija. So basically, Prophet used to remember his wife Khadija a lot, used to talk about her a lot, even after her death. So it was a known fact among the society that Hazrat Khadija was the most beloved wife of the Holy Prophet. And obviously, she was the one, according to the narration of Muhaddis Qummi, when Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam came for asking for her hand to the uncle of Hazrat Khadija, Warqa bin Nawfal, who was a pastor in his community. So before he could not reply to the nice and beautiful statement of Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam, how he was praising Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam in front of, and that, you know, about how superior and great, and how, you know, in other words, how great his son of his brother is. And he couldn't reply to any proper, reply to the Prophet. And finally, the narration says that Hazrat Khadija herself broke the silence. And she herself said that, that basically I am marrying myself to the Holy Prophet. She herself presented herself to the Holy Prophet and also said that I'm going to pay, the mahr is upon me. So he didn't have to pay the mahr basically. And that's where we find that Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam did the gathering, he did the nahar of a camel, and the celebration was taking place. Please say salawat. Now, in these kind of situations, when you find a person has such an unprecedented record of service to the Prophet in times where everyone is isolating the Prophet, in those times, this becomes unforgettable. So it makes perfect sense how Prophet announces the entire year to be Amul Huzn. This is the azamat of Hazrat Khadija and Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi wasalam. In the, when the Prophet was, when the janazah of Hazrat Abu Talib was carried, the narration says Prophet was walking in front of the janazah, and he was, he was so sad. The Prophet was there walking in front of the janazah, and he addressed Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi wasalam that you did the salatul rahim. You did the salatul rahim. I mean that you took care of your relation and qarabat. You did what the Prophet said, in other words, that you did what you were supposed to do. That means everything that you had to do, you have performed. This is the best description about Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam, that he did everything towards the Prophet and Islam that he was supposed to do. He didn't leave nothing behind undone for Islam. And like I said, 3 days after the Shahadat and Wafat of Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam, or 35 days according to two different narrations, there was the death of Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha. And Prophet was obviously there at her burial. He buried her in Mecca, in the place which was called Ajun in the history. And obviously Prophet was extremely sad on that occasion. But I would definitely like to say to our Prophet that at the time you are burying your most beloved wife, and one of the greatest ladies in the history of humanity, the mother of Hazrat Fatima. And that's enough for the azamat of Hazrat Khadija, that she is the mother of Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen min al-awwaleen wal-akhirin. That's enough for Hazrat Khadija as a fadilat. And she is the mother of 11 imams. 11 imams are coming from her nasl. This is enough for the fadilat of Hazrat Khadija. So, we don't find any lady who has 11 imams coming from her nasl like that, isn't it right? Other than Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam, her own daughter. So this tells us about her taharat. Taharatul qalb of Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha. So we find that Prophet was there and he was mahzoon, and he buried along with obviously some of the members of the Bani Hashim and the family which were present in that occasion. But there's another janazah which is happening after that, where another wife is buried. We find when Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was there to bury his wife Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam, that was another extremely sad occasion for Imam Ali alayhi salam and for the entire Islam. And he was very, very, sad and mahzoon on that occasion. Obviously, Hazrat Fatima is afdal than Hazrat Khadija. Obviously, she is Sayyidatun Nisa'il Alameen. But we find that despite the fact that people of Medina did khiyanat towards Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam, and towards the walayat of Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam, and towards their support towards Hazrat Zahra in the Fadak issue, isn't it right? But still we find there were few people who were participating in the janazah along with Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam in the middle of the night. Because Abu Zar came out and said to the people of Medina who were standing outside that the janazah, there is a ta'khir, there is a delay in coming out of the janazah. The people dispersed. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen buried the janazah of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha in the night according to the wasiyat of Hazrat Zahra. So she did the wasiyat already that her janazah be buried in the night, and those who did zulm should not be allowed to participate, in other words, in her janazah. And that's what Imam Ali did. Very few people participated. But again, we find that just like Hazrat Khadija had few people there, we find that in the time of the tadfeen of Hazrat Zahra, there were few people of Bani Hashim and some of the Ashab like Salman and Abu Dharr and Miqdad and Buraida al-Aslami who were present at that time, along with Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam for the tadfeen. But we find there's another janazah in Karbala. Janazah of the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen and son of Fatima al-Zahra, Imam Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wa salam. We find his janazah is lying there in the Maqtal in Karbala for 3 days according to the narration, and there is no one who comes forward to provide the kafan or the ghusl or the tadfeen for Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. We find instead what the people are now doing after the qatl of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, they are preparing the horses.
They are preparing فَقَامَ عَشْرَةٌ مِّنَ الْفَوَارِسِ. They are preparing horses to crush the janaza under the hooves of the horses. I don't know how Hazrat Zainab tolerated all that. What is the qalb? How azim is the qalb of Hazrat Zainab? We cannot understand. When you have your whole family, when you have your aqriba dying like this in front of your eyes, and then you find that Imam Hussain alayhi salam, who has been killed brutally, but then it didn't end there. But the enemies of Ashqiya are now trying to crush the janaza. So Hazrat Fadwa salamullah alayha informed her that I have a big news for you according to that narration, which I am paraphrasing these narrations. And she replied that there is no news big, obviously after the shahadat of her brother, there is no news big anymore for her. In other words, so we find that she told her that they are trying to prepare to crush the janaza of Imam al-Hussain alayhi salam under the hooves of the horses. And we find the janaza was then crushed of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And finally, later on, there is nobody who comes to provide the ghusl and kafan. It is still lying there. You know, هَذَا حُسَيْنٌ مُرَمَّنٌ بِالدِّمَاءِ مُقَطَّعُ الْأَعْذَىٰ وَبَنَاتِكَ سَبَايَا.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Thank you.